tomorrow is Christmas, and it's kind of a big deal in our country, I guess. Of course, not all countries in the world celebrate Christmas in any way. Studied a little bit about, and with the young men this morning, about some of the false teachings associated with Christmas. And I hope they learned a lot from that study, even though we had to fly through a lot of it, because there are so many. But of course, this is a time when people talk about peace. Peace on earth. Of course, many people celebrating Jesus' birth at Christmas time, and they think back to what was said at His birth by the angels about how on earth peace and goodwill to men. So they think about this as a time of peace many times. But of course, if you've been out shopping this past week for a late Christmas present, you know there wasn't a whole lot of peace going on, was there? It's something, isn't it, that this supposedly is to be the most peaceful time of year, and yet instead it's a time where people are breaking into houses and robbing the presents from other people's Christmas trees, and people be fighting in the aisles over the last toy for a child, these kinds of things. And this is supposed to be peace. Well, probably that's why when Jesus said, "Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives." Jesus tells us there's a different kind of peace out there than what the world thinks about. And we need to think about it as we think about Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which is our verse for the week. And this is a good week to think about this verse. Follow peace. The New King James says, pursue peace. And looking at the Greek, I think that may actually be a better translation of the word. In fact, the word that's translated follow there in the King James is the Greek word dioko. And that word is used some 40-something times in the New Testament. And of those, 32 times it's actually translated to persecute. Now, the idea of persecute carries with it a little more than just the idea of following, doesn't it? It indicates that you're actively going after something. And that's the connotation behind this word. Of course, in this way, we don't want to persecute peace, but we want to pursue it. We want to go after it. Chase it down, hunt it down, and get it. Because peace is not something that just comes naturally to human beings, is it? It's something we're going to have to pursue if we want it. Now, of course, here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, he says, follow peace or pursue peace with all men. And we know from other passages that it may not always be possible to have peace with everyone, is it? Well, Jesus, of course, would have been pursuing peace, and yet he certainly didn't get peace with everyone, did he? One of the reasons for that was that Jesus understood the same thing that we have to understand, that first and foremost, peace must be peace with God. And if peace with men must come at the price of sacrificing our peace with God, that's not a peace worth having. And so Jesus actually had a lot of strife in his life. Even though the angels had said in Luke 2, verses 13 and 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill toward men when he was born. But he didn't always have peace with those men. John tells us why. John tells us he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. It's still the same today, isn't it? Jesus comes to bring peace. He still wants us to have peace. But many will not receive him. They won't accept the peace that he offers. They're not interested in it because the peace that He offers requires some sacrifices, and so people don't want that. That's one of the reasons people love Christmas time. They get to think about a little baby laying in a manger, wrapped up in clothes, cooing, and everybody going, "Oh, isn't that sweet? Isn't that cute? Isn't that wonderful?" But you see, that little baby lying in the manger doesn't make any demands on people to change their lives. That the adult Jesus, the grown-up Jesus, who did the teaching for those 3 years in His ministry, demands that people repent. He demands that people be obedient to God. He demands that people believe in Him. You see, that little baby doesn't make any demands. So everybody loves the little baby. But what they forget is that that same little baby grew up and made those same demands of people. So that's why people love Christmas time. They love to think about a baby. But they don't love to think about what is required to actually be at peace with God. They think just because they go to church once a year, that's okay. Because I went and worshiped on Christmas. Catholics have a special service on Christmas, at midnight Christmas Eve. It goes on into the early minutes of Christmas morning. And some people, that's the only religious service they go to. And other people, they show up for the Sunday before Christmas. Or if Christmas is on Sunday, they skip it. But if it's like today, a lot of folks going to church today and not other times. Why? Because they think, well, I can be at peace with God this one time of year. Doesn't work that way. Either we're at peace with God all year round, or we're going to have to reconcile ourselves with Him and get back right with Him. We need to remember that peace, before we can have peace with men, we must have peace with God. But having understood that, what does the Hebrew writer tell us? Follow or pursue peace with all men. Don't try to cause strife. Don't wait for the other person to come to you. But instead, he says, you go after peace. You got something against your brother? You got something against your sister? Go to them. Is that what Jesus said? Take it to your brother alone. And then you can win your brother back, or sister would be the same case. We have the promise of peace with God. But we don't have the promise of peace with men. That's something we have to do for ourselves. Now, of course, that promise of peace with God is conditional upon our response to Him. Now, God didn't just say, okay, I sent my Son, so I'm going to have peace with everybody, and that's the end of that. There are some that believe that. They want to think just because Jesus came, there's going to be peace and nothing can be done about it. But we see the strife throughout the world. We see how many in the world don't accept Christ. Even in our so-called Christian nation, most, did you hear that word? Most people don't accept Christ. They don't follow Christ. They don't believe in Christ. And if they can't have peace with Christ and peace with God, how in the world are they going to have peace with each other? How do you think you can have peace with somebody and you're not at peace yourself? You can't. First, we've got to get at peace ourselves. We've got to get at peace with ourselves, with God, and then with others as well. So this idea of peace carries with it three distinct ideas that we must think about. You know, there is that problem with peace. It seems that sometimes that the promise of peace that Jesus left is missed. Maybe when people begin to doubt what He said when He talked about peace. When the angel said that peace would come and goodwill toward men, God took the first overture. He brought out the olive branch, so to speak. He brought out the flag of truce with Jesus. He offers that to us. But of course, peace is something that can't be forced, can it? You can't very well take an army, and I know the UN tries to do it with their peacekeeping force, but let's be honest. Violence can't force peace. Now, you may kill everybody that disagrees with you, and then there may be a lull, but as long as there's hostility, that hostility remains. Jesus didn't come to kill everybody that disagreed with Him so that everybody left would agree with Him. He understood that peace, true peace, has to come by reconciliation. People's differences have to be reconciled. That's why He came. Our differences between us and God, the sin that we have, that had to be reconciled. And our differences between us and other people, we can't just ignore it. We can't just pretend that we disagree, that we don't disagree. We have to reconcile that. Of course, many are calling on that reconciliation to be a compromise. You come halfway and I'll come halfway. And in some cases, that can work. In other cases, I have to go all the way and they don't need to come any other way. And in other cases, they need to come all the way, and I don't need to go any other way. We have to determine, based on God's Word, who has to go where. There are some things that cannot be reconciled. The Bible speaks of what do light and dark have in common? What does evil and good have in common? They can't meet halfway. It doesn't work that way. God and Satan, they're not going to meet halfway. Can't work that way. And so peace can be obtained through obedience. Obedience brings peace. Proverbs 3 verses 1 through 6, Solomon says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Obedience brings peace. Xander sometimes will say something. Something has been going on over a couple of days, and he's been misbehaving and getting in trouble. And he'll say, "Daddy, I don't like it when you spank me, or I don't like it when you yell at me, or whatever." You know, he'll say these kind of things. I say, "Son, if you do what's right, I won't spank you." The obedience brings peace. And that's the way we have to be with God. In order to have peace with God, we must obey. The problem is, so many people are trying to make a truce with God. They're trying to stay where they are in their sin and still expect God to be reconciled to them. And it can't work. We've got to come to obedience. Obedience will bring peace even with our enemies. Proverbs 16 verse 7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Now, we know from Jesus' life that this is a proverb. It doesn't mean that in every single case, but the fact of the matter is, the more obedient to God we are, the more at peace we're going to be with other people. Jesus was at peace. Even though those people were trying to kill Him, He was at peace. He was at peace with God, and He was at peace with all of those who were willing to be obedient to God. And you notice, Jesus didn't fight. When they came to take Him, and Peter struck out and cut off Malchus's ear, Jesus told him, "Put your sword away." And then He healed the man's ear. Now, you would think that an act like that would bring those enemies around to some peaceful thoughts. But even that, even Jesus healing the man who had been hurt, did not make them think that maybe He's not the bad guy. They still went ahead and arrested Him and took Him on in, took Him to trial. Working righteousness brings peace. Isaiah 32 and verse 17 says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. A spiritual mindedness brings peace. You know, we have to have a peace within ourselves in order to be at peace with others. If I'm conflicted in my own thoughts, in my own mind, it's very hard for me to get along with anybody else because I am in such turmoil myself. But we need to have a spiritual mind. Romans 8 verses 5 through 10 talks about the difference in those who live according to the flesh, and they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. We're not going to be fighting in the aisles over a toy if we've got our mind set on spiritual things. But if we've got our mind set on that physical thing, we're going to be in there throwing punches with the rest of them. If I've got my mind set on the physical things, then I might be one of those guys that goes out and breaks into somebody else's house to steal their Christmas presents so I can give them to the people I supposedly care about. I don't know how you can say you care about somebody by giving them a stolen present. But that's what these people are doing a lot of times. Now others are just stealing them so they can sell them to somebody else and have the money for themselves. But we got to think about what we're doing. Do we have our mind set on spiritual things? And it's so ironic that so many in the religious world celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ and supposedly a very spiritual time, and yet it's the most materialistic time of the year in our country. When people go out and buy the most stuff and spend the most money. They say, according to some of the credit card industry standards, that people are still paying off their Christmas presents in July and August of the next year. Is that being spiritually minded? You see, we need to be spiritually minded. We need to be thinking on the spiritual things. And at the time of Christmas time, instead of focusing on those things, we need to be thinking about the things that really do count. We need to be thinking about family and friends and love and peace. Of course, we need to be thinking about those things year-round. But it seems like at the time when people talk the most about peace, they live at the least. So this week, this is our challenge. Follow after peace with all men. You find yourself reaching for the last something at the store, and somebody else is reaching for it too, let them have it. What a novel idea. Peace. Spiritual mindedness. Keeping your mind on peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect peace? Isaiah says, if we keep our mind on the Lord, He will keep us in perfect peace. That means that whether the storms are raging around us, whether the economy is storming around us, whether disease and death and war are all around us, we can still be at peace. Because we're keeping our mind on God. On your papers, those of you who picked one up, the story is told of a painting about peacefulness. And the storm raging and the thunder and the lightning, and yet there, covered by the shelter of the rock, is a little nest with a little bird sitting in that nest, oblivious to that storm. That can be us in the Christian life. We can be, and when I say oblivious, that doesn't mean that we don't know what's going on, but we can be undaunted by those things. We can be undisturbed, even though all of those things are going on around us, because our focus is on God. And we can have peace with others. Jesus, even though He brought peace, He also says, I came not to bring peace but a sword. You know, Jesus is one of extremes. Either you loved him or you hated him. You couldn't be neutral about him. There were those who loved him and followed after him and wanted anything just to see him. Zacchaeus climbed up a tree just so he could see him. You got other people who struggled through crowds just to reach out and touch him. Like the woman who had the bleeding. She'd just reach out and touch him so that it could be healed. And you've got these kinds of things. And then on the other hand, you've got people that are wanting to hunt him down and kill him. You either loved him or you hated him. The same way, either he's going to bring you peace or he's going to bring you the worst strife that you can imagine. Because you're going to fight against him and fight against God. And it's going to be trouble for you nonstop and trouble for those around you. But of course, Jesus' peace that he left us, he says in John 14 and verse 27, was not as the world gives. Because his peace wasn't a false peace. You see it all the time. I tell you, between Israel and Palestine, you know, if you watch the news for a week, they've brokered a new peace agreement up. And yet, within the day, it's broken again. That's not peace. That doesn't real peace, true peace, the peace that Jesus brings is peace that lasts. It's not going to disappear in a day. The Bible speaks of him being the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. It speaks of the gospel of peace in Romans 10, 15. Of course, in Luke 2, 14 that we saw already, talking of Jesus bringing peace to the earth. And then John 14, where we saw that Jesus said he leaves his peace with us. John 16 and verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Notice then what he says. "In the world you may have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So Jesus tells us as his followers, yes, you may have some trouble, you may have some tribulation, you may have some struggles, you may have some persecution, but in me you'll have peace. Peace with all men. That's certainly something worth having. He is the Lord of peace, 2 Thessalonians 3:16 tells us. Prayer leads us to peace, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. The Bible does talk a lot about peace, doesn't it? But we need to understand that the peace on earth that we can have is going to be with those that we can reconcile to God. But that's why we're pursuing peace. The more people that we can win to Christ, the more people that we can bring to peace between them and God, the more people we're going to be able to be at peace with. Does that mean we shouldn't try to be at peace with people who aren't Christians? No, of course. We're going to try to be peaceable with all men. We're going to follow after peace. We're going to pursue peace. We're going to do everything within our power to be at peace with those other individuals. That's what the Bible says, as much as in you lies, live at peace with all men. But one of the things that we've got to understand is peace is not all on one side of the equation. It has to be some on the other side of the equation as well. But we do everything we can do, and we need to do that. We need to strive to have peace. And at this time, perhaps when other people are thinking about peace, I say they're thinking about it, they're talking about it anyway, maybe a time to make some inroads toward peace with some people that you haven't had peace with in the past. Might be a good opportunity to do that. But first, we've got to have peace between us and God before we're going to be able to really approach others and have a good peace with them. But we need to be thinking about that as a goal. Trying to live at peace. Be peaceable people. Paul says that's one of the prayers that we should have, that we may live quiet lives, peaceful lives. That's something we should be praying for. And I think both of the prayers this morning mentioned the peace, not only, but peace in the world with the strife that's going on in the world. It is difficult sometimes, however, to maintain peace with other people. That's the difficult part. That's the challenge. That's what we need to work toward. So work on that. Notice he said you have to pursue peace. You have to follow after it. You have to go after it. It doesn't just happen to you. It doesn't just come naturally and fall in your lap. But anything worth having is worth working for. So hopefully, with the rest of this year, you'll work toward peace. If you're not at peace with God, in other words, if you're not a Christian, if Christ is not your Savior, if you have not believed in Him and repented of your sins, confessed Him as the Christ, and been buried with Him in baptism, then He's not your Savior. That's the plan that God laid out. And you remember, in order to be at peace with God, we must have obedience to God. We've got to be obedient. We've got to do what He said do if we want to have peace with Him. We need to remember that in our relationship between us and God, we're the child and He's the parent. He makes the rules and we don't question them, we simply obey them. And if we do that, we'll have peace with Him. You can get your life right today by doing that. If you're here and you're a Christian, but perhaps you've fallen out of favor with God because you haven't been obedient to Him in your Christian life, you may need to repent of that and get back right with Him again. If you're here and perhaps you haven't been at peace with others because of some problems stemming from your side of the equation, you may need to repent of that and try to get that right. Get things straight between yourself and the others around you. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.